This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لله عبادا فطنا طلقوا الدنيا وخافوا الفتنا نظروا فيها فلما علموا أنها ليست لحي وطنا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The topic of our discussion today is stories from the Quran, and the particular story that we're looking at is the story of Qarun. The story of Qarun is a story in Surah Al-Qasas, so if some of you would like to take out your cell phones or something and look at the story as we're studying it, you can do that. That would be, you know, ayah number 76 from Surah Al-Qasas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن قارون كان من قوم موسى فبغى عليهم وآتيناه من الكنوز ما إن مفاتحه لتنوء بالعصبة إن مفاتحه لتنوء بالعصبة أولي القوة إذ قال له قومه لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغ الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين قال إنما أوتيته على علم عندي أولم يعلم أن الله قد أهلك من قبله من القرون من هو أشد منه قوة وأكثر جمعا ولا يسأل عن ذنوبهم المجرمون فخرج على قومه في زينته قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون إنه لذو حظ عظيم وقال الذين أوتوا العلم ويلكم ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا ولا يلقاها إلا الصابرون فخسفنا به وبداره الأرض فما كان له من فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان من المنتصرين وأصبح الذين تمنوا مكانه بالأمس يقولون ويكأن الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويكأن الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر لولا أمن الله علينا لخسف بنا ويكأنه لا يفلح الكافرون تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. الله سبحانه وتعالى says إن قارون كان من قوم موسى فبغى عليهم. Indeed, Qarun was from the people of Musa عليه السلام. If you can move over here, so. Yeah, move over. You as well. You'd prefer? Yeah, that's fine, no problem. So, Qarun was from the people of Musa alayhi salam. And what that means is he was actually related to Musa alayhi salam. So, this is a relative of Musa alayhi salam. Some said he was the uncle of Musa alayhi salam. Others said no, he was the cousin, maternal, paternal. Anyways, in either case, this person was a relative of Musa alayhi salam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى. Allah says, إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. And then suddenly, what did this person do? He started to become a tyrant. He started to transgress against his own people, his own very people. Normally, when you're amongst your own people, you're very, very nice, you're very, very kind, and you're expected to be, and people around you also expect you to be. That's the nature of man, people, right? If you're rude to some random person on the street, he's not expecting much of you, right? And he's not going to stop to think that, why are you being rude to me, and why are you not being rude to me? But if you're rude to your own family and your own kin, then people are going to start looking at you like, why are you doing this? There must be some weird reason why you're doing this. So this person, that's what he's doing. He's rude to his own very family. And he's very tyrannic to his own very family. He transgresses against his own very family. Allah says, explaining why all of this is happening, وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ. We gave to Qarun, we gave to him treasures, the likes of which people have never seen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these treasures and he says, these treasures were so great that even if you were to bring a group of very mighty men, they wouldn't be able to carry the keys of this particular treasure that he had. The treasure chests that this individual had, they were so large that even the keys were so numerous that people wouldn't be able to carry them. This is how the keys of the treasures of Qarun were. So this person was filthy rich, that's what he was. And somehow, subhanAllah, the topic of yesterday is kind of related to the topic of today as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and he says that all of a sudden, when people started to see his family members, when they started to see that this person is being so rude, he's being so such a tyrant, he's being so transgressive against his own family, all of a sudden his family started to speak to him, and they thought, maybe we can, you know, talk it out. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ. Now this is pretty much the climax of the whole story. It's not the climax actually, the climax is to come, but this is the purpose of the entire story. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the purpose right in the beginning. Other times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to put the purpose towards the end. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the purpose right somewhere in the middle. Over here you'll notice, right from the beginning Allah is giving you the purpose of the story. The purpose of this story is to show you these pieces of advice, or at least as I see it, these pieces of advice that his people, Qarun's people, gave to him when he started to become so tyrannic. He started to become like a person that would transgress upon his own people. When he started to do that, his family, his people of kin and kith, they're giving him pieces of advice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quoting the entire story so you get these pieces of advice as well. We don't end up falling in these problems then. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says his people started to tell him. There are five pieces of advice. Listen very, very carefully. I'm not going to make this talk very long. I'll try to make it very concise and short, but just give me your attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ. Suddenly his people started to tell him, do not exalt. Do not exalt. What does that mean? Don't become excessively happy. Don't start to rejoice exceedingly for the wealth that you've been given. Because what happens to people is, when they have a lot of money, when you start to have money that you can't even count anymore, you have money like this individual whose treasure chests are so large and so numerous that people of might, a group of people of might, cannot even carry the keys of the treasure chests. When you get to that level of wealth, then the tyrannic behavior becomes part and parcel of humankind. So his people, they started to tell him, do not exalt. Do not rejoice exceedingly. Don't become exultant. Don't become a person who's always happy about how much money he has. You see people like that sometimes. You meet them, they've got so much money, especially if earlier on in their life they didn't have money. If they're raised up in money, you'll notice most people that are raised up in wealth, they're normally humble. They're very, very humble because throughout their life, they've had this, it's not, they don't really care for it, they've, you know, they're used to it, okay? But then there's people that are sometimes Bedouins, and suddenly they become filthy rich. Or there are people that are, you know, not even educated, but all of a sudden Allah gives them, showers wealth upon them. Or throughout their lives they've been struggling, but suddenly things start to work out for them and they start to become really rich and they go this direction. So Qarun has been given this wealth. His people are saying, don't start to rejoice, don't start to act like you're all that. Subhanallah, this is Qarun. On a very minute scale, all of us have a little bit of this behavior. When you start to switch jobs, you go from one job to another. One day you're making a 30k salary, may Allah preserve and protect us, and then all of a sudden you start to make a 40, 50, 60, 70, and then you get to the six figures, and when you get beyond that, you start to get a little bit of those feelings. And as you get higher up the scale, the feelings will increase. That's what's going to happen. So his people are telling him, don't become this person who's exceedingly rejoicing for his wealth, because of his wealth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love those people that are extremely, excessively rejoiceful of their own wealth. Okay? Now, farah means to rejoice. There's no problem in becoming a person that's farhan, someone that's joy, you know, that is rejoicing, he's joyful. There's no problem with that. But the problem is when you become exceedingly so. And farah has another connotation, and that is to rejoice and become happy about the transitory life. If you're becoming happy about the hereafter, there's no problem. You're thinking about Jannah, you're thinking about the good deeds that you're doing, and that's leading you to happiness. And that's why there's this one poet, this young man, he's really, really pious. On the day of Eid, and Eid is just coming, right? On the day of Eid, he says, النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمُ لِلْعِيدِ قَدْ فَرِحُوا وَأَنَا فَرِحْتُ الْيَوْمَ بِالْوَاحِدِ الصَّمَدِ. The day of Eid, people are all happy because of the Eid, and I'm happy because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon whom are all of my affairs. What happens on the day of Eid is everybody forgets Allah Azza wa Jal. You're thinking about everything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, sometimes when an Eid occasion comes, if you are invited to give like a lecture or something, or if there's a lecture, people don't even want to hear about the hereafter. They don't want to be reminded of the fact that, yes, the ahkam, the rulings that you are, you know, holding fast to during the month of Ramadan, they're still obligatory upon you today in the day of Eid. They're still mandatory for you to follow on the day of Eid. People don't want to hear those things because they just want to let loose on that day. Right? So that type of happiness, that's where the problem is. But if you're happy, but you know, you're a person that's generally happy, you have a happy demeanor, but your happiness is not leading you to this sort of behavior where you're forgetting all of the boundaries of Allah Azza wa Jal, no problem. So long as it's not going down that direction, there's not a problem. So Allah doesn't love those that are excessively and exceedingly rejoicing. Those are the people that Allah doesn't love. Those that are rejoicing, they're happy of, you know, the things that Allah has been giving them and granting them, no problem. They're people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, because Allah loves for the ni'mah, the blessing of his slave to be apparent on, the blessing that Allah has given to his slave to be apparent on him. Allah loves that. That's not a problem. But if that blessing leads you to becoming tyrannical, to becoming an individual that transgresses against the people, then that is where the problem lies. وَبِتَغِي فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْأَخْرَى. And then the second piece of advice that they're giving to Qarun, and this is an advice for all of us as well, وَبِتَغِي فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْأَخْرَى. What Allah has given you, He's given you so much wealth, from this wealth, seek the Day of Judgment. Seek the hereafter. Seek ad-darul akhirah, the final abode. Don't look through this wealth to make only your dunya. Think about your dunya as well, not a problem. But also make your primary focus the hereafter. That is the second piece of advice that they're giving Qarun. When we have money, we think about... Sometimes when people have money, and you know, there's different grades and different stations of how much money you can have. So depending on the amount of money you have, you think about making your worldly life and your transitory life just that comfortable. So if you have a six-figure salary, you're thinking about making the best backyard that you can make. Well, no, maybe less, maybe more than that, inshallah. But yeah, not inshallah. You know what I'm trying to say, okay? So if you got a six-figure salary, you're thinking about making a certain standard of life happen for yourself. If you've got a little bit less than that, you're trying to make a certain standard of life. And if you got a little bit more than that, you're even beyond that, maybe you're even thinking about buying an island. That's how far people will get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quoting this advice of the people of Qarun to Qarun himself, and where they're telling him, think about your hereafter as your primary goal. Because you're going to die and you're going to take nothing of what you've bought for yourself in this life. You're not going to take that with you. The only thing you're going to take with you is that which you spent for the sake of Allah and for your hereafter, to make your hereafter. That's all you're going to take with you. وَبِتَغِي فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the hereafter and the hereafter alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues quoting the people of Qarun with yet another advice. Now when I tell you seek the hereafter alone, when I add that word alone there, you suddenly start to think, hey, can I not have pleasure in this life as well? You were just telling me that you can rejoice in this life, but don't exceedingly rejoice. I can't have pleasure in my own life as well, over here in the transitory life. Doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love for his slave to, you know, benefit from the wealth and the positive manners? Of course he does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that. And that's why his people, the next advice they're going to give him is, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And don't forget your portion from the dunya. Don't forget your portion from the dunya. So there's a portion of the dunya that you can also enjoy. If you have some wealth, there is some obligatory charity, there is some responsibilities you have as a wealthy person. All of us have responsibility. When we have money, there's responsibility involved. Money comes with responsibility. You cannot spend irresponsibly. Whenever you have money, there's responsibility involved. This is something you have to program your brain with. Some people think that, khalas, I have the money, let me just spend left, right, center. That's not how it works. If you're spending left, right, center, what about the people that are in need in different parts of the world? They're going to require a portion of your money. They need it. It comes with responsibility. You have to take care of your money. So spend responsibility, spend with responsibility for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, but at the same time, have a portion, only a portion of your wealth for yourself in this dunya as well. Why? Because that is a portion that's going to help you just get through your life. And then you're trying to get to a bigger goal. That bigger goal, you want to make sure you spend most of your wealth for that bigger goal. Not most of your wealth for this transitory goal. Sometimes we want to do things for the sake of Allah. Whenever we want to do things for the sake of Allah, we don't give it our 100%, right? Whether it be money, whether it be power, whether it be the energy that we have, we don't do it 100%. But when we do other things that are for the sake of our lives, we'll do it 100%. There's people that come over here that have a very, very nice house for themselves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put blessings in their house. And they will continue to spend and buy a second and a third and a fourth house. But when they come to the masjid, they will spend, but they're not going to spend just as much as they spend for their own house, despite the fact that when they spend for the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, they're really spending for themselves. Nobody is going to take this money. As I said yesterday, and I'll say it again, the house is owned by Allah Azza wa Jal. This masjid is owned just like all of the other masajid. They're owned by Allah, not because they're in the name of Allah, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that himself. Whoever uses this masjid for his own purposes and not for the purpose of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he is transgressing against Allah. He will be responsible in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. And indeed, the masajid, the houses are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you're spending for your house, do that. But make sure that whatever you're spending for yourself is a portion of your wealth, not all of it. Most of it, make it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the majority of the scholars, I'm being nice when I'm explaining this verse as I am. The majority of the scholars, they don't explain this verse this nicely. Including a lot of the Sahaba. They say that what Allah is saying over here, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, don't forget your portion from the dunya. What Allah is saying over here, and what they were saying to him is, don't forget to spend in the hereafter and make that your portion from the dunya. Because your dunya is like that train. That train that is getting you to the hereafter. So don't forget to fill up the gas in the train so you can get to the hereafter alright. That's what they're saying to him. As in, don't forget to make sure you spend enough in the way of Allah. Time, money, wealth, power, strength. Don't forget to do that. Enough in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when you end up receiving the reward of that on the Day of Judgment, you don't have to putting your eyes down and your face down in embarrassment. You end up having your face high and you're happy with what you've done from this dunya, during this dunya, for your hereafter. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. So far, they were talking about his money. Now they're giving him advice not related to the money. They're not even talking about his money anymore. Now they're talking about him just being a kind and a genuine individual. What happens to people is, and this is also part of nature, of human beings, we have to go against it, and Allah has given us remedies to go against it. I'll prescribe one towards the end of the talk as well, inshallah. What they're telling him now is, and what happens to people when they are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right away they start to become people that have arrogant, and they start to become people that have arrogant, not only against the people themselves, but also against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we saw in the story yesterday. That person that had the big garden, and because of his garden, he started to become tyrannic against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. He started to disbelieve in the hereafter. That was that individual. This person, he's still believing in Allah, possibly. He's still believing, some people said he's still believing in Allah Azza wa Jal. But he's becoming very, very tyrannic. So they are telling him now that start being kind to people. The money that you have, the power that you have, the fame that you have, the glory that you have, the house that you have, the car that you have, all of that is ihsan from Allah. All of that is blessings given to you from Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So since Allah was kind to you, why aren't you kind to the people? Be kind to the people just as Allah has been kind to you. That's their second advice. So when you are given something from Allah Azza wa Jal, don't let that be a reason for you to become transgressive. Don't let that be a reason for you to become arrogant against the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if it's strength, Allah will take it away from you. And I remember growing up, I had a friend. He was a bodybuilder. And he was always at the gym. This guy actually used to work at the gym. Okay? And this guy was so physically fit that, you know, he started to become extremely arrogant. Very, very arrogant. All the time, all he does is, he's at the gym because essentially he works at the gym. So the more he's at the gym, he's making money, and he's also starting to, you know, he's getting the right physiques to show off with his body. And subhanAllah, one day he's a person that fit, that physically fit, you would imagine that basketball would be the last thing that would damage this person's body. Simply, this guy is playing basketball, and I remember this guy is a friend of mine, even today. The person was playing basketball, and he took a jump shot, and when he came, landed from the jump shot, he injured his knee. And from that day onwards, he could never recover. He started having a belly, and he started having this, you know, just a regular body that everybody else has, and he no longer could have that little, you know, the type of physiques that he could show off with. And he told me afterwards, he said, Abdul Wahab, when I had that body, I just couldn't help but be arrogant to people. I thought I was a person that was undefeatable. I couldn't be defeated. I would go into different places, pick fights with people. I would do whatever I want. I would just act as arrogant as possible and get away with it because nobody would try to mess with me. And Allah took that away from him. And just like that, Allah can take anything away from you. No matter what it is that you're arrogant about, Allah can take it away from you. So if Allah has been kind to you, you have to be kind to people. Otherwise, if you're not kind to people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it all away from you. Allah continues, and He says, He's quoting the advices of this group of people that are advising Qarun. His family, his people, his tribesmen. وَبِتَغِي فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And do not seek to spread mischief in the land. Another thing that comes with power and money, and strength even, since we're talking about strength, is spreading mischief in the lands. People that are strong, they should be protecting people instead of picking fights with people. When you see someone weak on the street, somebody's trying to beat him up, you should be the person that's protecting that individual. Because Allah has given you that strength. Not the person that's beating up the individual. If you're doing that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may end up looking at you like, why are you being arrogant? And if you are being arrogant, then you may end up going through the same thing that Qarun went through, the same thing that the person with the two gardens went through. Allah took the garden away from him. Allah is going to take all the money, power, fame, his house, the thing that he was arrogant about, from Qarun away. You'll see that in the story just now. So if you are the one that's picking a fight with somebody else, that somebody else may end up making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and believe you me, that dua that he makes, the person that is being transgressed upon, it is accepted. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said in a hadith, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا تُرَدُّ دَعْوَةٌ. There are three people, their du'as are never, never rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never rejected. One of them is الصَّائِمُ حَتَّى يُفْطِرُ. The person who's fasting until he breaks his fast. And you're all fasting, so when we're done with this little class of ours, you can go in the corner and start making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah will accept your dua. And number two is al-imam al-adil. Number two is the person who is a leader and he's very just. He's not an unjust leader. And number three is a person who has been transgressed upon. So if you are doing that transgression, the person that is transgressed upon, he may make dua to Allah, he may raise his hands to Allah Azza wa Jal, and there won't be anything between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will accept his dua and take everything away from you possibly. And if it's money, same thing. If money is leading you to that, to spreading mischief in the land, oftentimes money is what leads to people or allows people to spread mischief in the land. Right now, if you think about the people that are buying or that are publishing the nastiest, filthiest of magazines, that when you go to the store, if you have children, you have to hide their eyes from looking at these magazines. How are they doing that? They're doing that because they've got money. Because of the money, they're able to spread that filth in the world. So money leads to spreading filth in the land. It does, unless a person protects himself from spreading filth in the land, and he instead spreads good in the land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he quotes these advices, and he says, وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do not spread mischief in the land. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Afterwards, please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love those that are people that spread mischief in the land. Money can also be good. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, how good is good wealth in the hand of a person who's pious? It can also be good. Right? There was a lot of Sahaba that had a lot of wealth. It can be good as well. It's up to you to decide what you do with your money, what you do with your power, what you do with strength. Anything that Allah gives you, anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with, you can always use it in different ways. It's up to you to decide what you're going to do with that. Musa alayhi salam had strength, he had power. What did he do? He tried to help those two women, as we noticed in the khutbah this week, right? He tried to help those two women move the rocks out of the way so he can take their animals and let them drink. If you've got the strength, then help out. A couple of days ago, I saw a sister over here struggling and carrying a ladder. And I was answering somebody's question. I wanted to go and help her, but there were so many men around. How come nobody went and tried to help her out and carry this ladder? She's struggling. She was literally dragging the ladder. She couldn't do it. She was trying her best, but she was struggling. If you've got some strength, you've got some power, help out. Let the people get benefit from your strength. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to give that strength to you, continue to bless you with more in whatever blessing that you have, whatever capacity that you have. If you're a doctor, then Don't just help out people in your clinic. If you're at the masjid, somebody wants you to ask you for some advice, give them some advice. Take a moment of your time and give them some advice as well. If somebody is new here and as of yet they don't have the healthcare cards, let them come to your office, if it's not legal by the way. Let them come to your office and let them benefit as well. Or maybe just at least give them advice in, you know, ways that can benefit them in terms of their health. Whatever you can do to help humanity, do it. Because that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in the blessing that you have. Now, when they gave him all these pieces of advice, he didn't take these pieces of advice. He didn't think that I've been given this wealth, I've been given this power, I've been given this fame from Allah Azza wa Jal. He thinks he got it himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes Qarun now, and Qarun talks and he says, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. He says, I've only been given this because of myself. Because I have a special type of knowledge. All of this came from me. I have been given this because of myself, not because of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's not turning it, his blessings to Allah. He's not attributing his blessings to Allah Azza wa Jal. He's saying, I've been given this wealth, this power, this fame, all of that because I have the street smarts. I knew when the stocks are going to rise and I knew when the stocks are going to fall. I had that information, other people didn't. If otherwise other people also have all the resources that I had, they could have done the same thing that I did. But they weren't able to do it. I was able to do it. I was smarter. I got through the whatever exams I got through. I got through university. I got through to the best colleges. I was able to get the best jobs in the world. I was able to do that. And that's why I have what I have. It wasn't because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't attribute all of this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever you have something, always attribute it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always turn it back to Allah, because you never have anything. In reality, you're going to die, you're going to leave everything behind. That's the reality of you. You're going to die, all you're going to take with you is just a coffin. That's it, that's all it is. And you're going to be buried 6 feet under, that's all you have with you, just that white cloth on top of you. And if you are living in a country where they necessitate having like a real box, then that's all you're going to have, just a little box. And that box is going to start to decay over a couple of centuries. Even the box is not going to be there. And you just have that cloth. And ants, insects, and other things are going to start eating away at that. And even that is going to go. And then your body is going to go as well. Everything is going to be gone. What you're going to have is whatever you did for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So whatever you have, always attribute it back to Allah Azza wa Jal. Be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Say thank you to Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Always and forever. Even if it's a calamity. Because when it's a calamity, you're being patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly rewarding you. Don't be like this individual. Because what's going to happen to him is really, really severe. And you'll see what will happen to him soon enough. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I've been given all of this because I have a special and specific knowledge. أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Did he not know? أن الله قد أهلك من قبله من القرون من هو أشد منه قوة. Did he not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed before him people that were even stronger than him, that had even more money than him? How dare he become so tyrannical? Did he not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the capacity to take all of that away from him, just as he took it away from the people before him? How dare did all of that lead him to such transgressive behavior? Does he not understand that there were people before him that had so much money, so much wealth, so much power, but at the end of the day, they ended up decaying as well, just as he will soon enough. مَنْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ قُوَّةً وَأَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا. And they had more wealth than him as well. Did he not know of that? وَلَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذُنُوبِهِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. People that are criminals in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, they will never be asked about their sins. What does that mean? Of course they'll be asked about their sins, isn't that so? Well, the people that are tyrannical, people that transgress, people that are sinners, people that are criminals, will they be asked in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal? Will they be asked? That's a question to you. They'll be asked, right? But Allah is saying those people that are of such nature, they'll not be asked. What does that mean? Yes. No, they'll be asked. They'll be questioned. The questioning is a type of punishment. Allah will put people through questioning just to punish them. They'll be asked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people that are criminals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at times He punishes them in this life without giving them any respite. Other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them respite, and on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds them to account. But certain people that are tyrannical, within this life, they will be punished, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not wait for an explanation. Whenever you go to a court, somebody that's a criminal, don't they ask him about an explanation? What did you do? Why did you do this? They allow him the right to a lawyer, they allow him a right to an explanation, they give him all of that. At times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds criminals to account to a degree so fast that He doesn't even allow them time to give him an explanation. And that's exactly what will happen to this individual. He doesn't give him any time for an explanation, especially when it comes to sins related to arrogance. When it comes to sins related to arrogance, at times the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal comes down so fast that there is no time, there is no opportunity for an explanation. There is no opportunity for asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Because arrogance is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want a human being to have. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in the hadith Qudsi that al-kibriya'u dida'i, that the concept of arrogance, it's like my cloak itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this. Because Allah is the most capable, most great, most grand of all. So Allah is the one who is most rightful of that sort of behavior. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the greatest of example. We're not saying Allah is being arrogant. But that nature of being grand, that is for Allah alone. Not for people that have been created by Allah. For them, they have to be humble. They have to have humility. So whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds one of His slaves trying to also have that same trait as him, Allah doesn't like that. And that's why the adab for those people, the punishment for those people when it comes down, it's very, very grand. And it's very fast. And Allah doesn't give them respite. At times He doesn't even ask them, as Allah is saying right over here. فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. So this person now, suddenly, the arrogance that he had, he starts to make it even more. He comes out with his entourage, fi zinatihi. As much as he could, he beautified himself. As much as he could, he beautified his entourage. He literally drove in the best car that he had. فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. When he walked in, or he drove in with his entourage, people are behind him, people are on his right, people are on his left. People that wanted this transitory life, they wanted a piece of this transitory life. There are always those people that are trying for this transitory life. They're trying really hard, they're trying to make money, they're trying to become rich, but they're not able to do that. And they die trying. You know of those people as well. They've been trying all their lives, sometimes for good intentions, sometimes for bad intentions, right? They're trying, but they're not able to do it throughout their entire lives. When they see a person that is so rich, they start to get jealous and they want a piece of his wealth. That's what they want. So Allah says, those people that wanted this transitory life, when they saw this individual, when they saw this person with his beautiful entourage, they started to say something. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Those people that wished for this transitory life, they started to say, يَا لَيْتَنَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونُ إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Oh, how we wish we had something similar to what Qarun has. Indeed, he has so much that Allah has blessed him with. إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٌ عَظِيمٌ. This Qarun, this individual, he is a person that has a very, very large fortune, a very great fortune. So they are very, very dazzled. They're bewildered by the amount of money this person has. And they want a piece of it. That's what they're saying. When they're looking at this really rich individual, they want to be like him. And that's what happens. Subhanallah, if you go into certain places in the world, I don't want to mention any countries, but I remember there was this country that I was in at one point, and whenever you ask the young people in that locality or in that country, who would you like to be like? The person that they mention always is the richest person in that country. Always. He's really filthy rich and everybody knows him. So every time you ask the people, who would you like to be like? They always mention the most filthy rich person in the country and nobody else. That's it. That's the first person that comes to their mind. And similarly, in our localities as well, whenever you think of young people, they always idolize the musicians, they idolize the raps, singers or rap artists, they idolize the R&B artists, they'll idolize people that have got the money, they've got the power, they've got the fame. But they don't understand that along with that fame and power and money, they're also going through misery. That's what they're going through. Deep down inside, they're going through misery. Whenever you have a materialistic society, you'll always find people going through a lot of miserable times as well. Life becomes really miserable, especially for materialistic people. And I gave you an example yesterday, and I'll give it again as well. And that is Japan. Japan is a very nice country to live in, by the way. But they have one of the highest suicide rates in the world. In fact, they have a forest entirely dedicated to suicide. It's called the suicide forest. The suicide forest, I'm not joking. If you walk into this forest, there's a person that works around there, and I was watching a documentary about this as well. He said that in the past 20 years, just walking around this particular forest, I found over 100 dead bodies, over 100 corpses. He's walking around the forest, he found so many people that have committed suicide, hung themselves to a tree, and some people, what they do is they come there with a tent, they come there with drinks and foods, and they sit there and they sleep there. Why do they sit there and sleep there? Because they're sitting there, sleeping there, pondering whether they should commit suicide or not. Why? Why do they need to commit suicide? They've got such a high standard of living, right? They've got everything they want in the world, right? But they've got materialism. Materialism doesn't fill your heart up. It's never going to fill your heart up. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about these people, He says, those people that wished for this transitory life, they wanted nothing more than this. They said that this person is a person of fortune. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ And now they're people that don't want the transitory life. They've been given knowledge, and along with knowledge comes the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of you being over here in this class, this is a great sign. This is a sign that you want something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ Those people that have been given the knowledge, or at least they've been given the zeal for knowledge. You all have the zeal for knowledge. You're coming here before iftar, you could be at home chilling, doing other things. You could be at home relaxing, but you're coming over here for a reason, either to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then you got dragged into this lesson, or you actually came for this purpose. All of that is good. This is a great sign. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve this trait within you and increase it as well. قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ وَإِلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ Woe to all of you people that want the transitory life. This is what the people of knowledge are saying. Woe to all of you. ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ The thawab of Allah Azza wa Jal is better. The compensation that Allah will give you is better. The recompense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better. What you're going to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're patient upon the difficult times that you're going through, and if you're patient upon the unease that you have, let me give you an example of what they may be meaning over here in our modern context. When you see people that have wealth, oftentimes, I'm not generalizing, they're people that are very kind, they're very wealthy, and they're very genuine, and they're very nice as well. Okay? And they do a lot for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And there are many people within our own tradition that were extremely wealthy, and they did so much for the sake of Allah, developing endowments, developing trusts, building masjids. Even today, there are people that do that, and they're really nice. The biggest agricultural endowment that history has ever seen, based on our, knowledge of history, was done in our time, and it was done by a Muslim person, practicing Muslim individual. A very wealthy man. He donated all of his wealth for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Till now, he's still wealthy because he had businesses as well, right? So he still had money coming in, he had revenue, so he went back to being a wealthy man, but he donated his most beloved garden for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So there's still khair in society. I'm not saying everybody is bad and people that have money are the worst people in the world. But what I am saying is that oftentimes people that have wealth, they acquire that wealth and they gain that wealth through means that are not lawful. Through means that are not lawful. Oftentimes, the vast majority of times, this is the case. Now, if you have a problem with this, go and look at all the businesses on any stock exchange. You'll find vast majority of those businesses are not permissible businesses. So this is not something that I'm just saying out of thin air. This is something that is a reality that we're living through. People that are in business, the vast majority of them, they do commit certain sins in terms of the way they transact. In fact, even the Prophet ﷺ attested to this himself. He said it himself. I'm not talking here. Listen to Rasulullah ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ addressing businessmen particularly. Okay? And by the way, we have two talks in a row, in 2 days in a row, very similar topics. I'm not trying to offend anyone, and I'm also not trying to, you know, only discuss this topic. It just so happened that I was giving these two talks, and the topics were very, very, you know, related to one another. That's all it is. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ya ma'ashara tujjar, inna hadhihi tijara, yahduruha al-ithmu wa shaytan. فَشُوبُوا بَيْعَكُمْ بِالصَّدَقَةِ O assembly of the businessmen. Indeed, these businesses are always mixed up with two things. Sin and shaitan. Sin and shaitan. They always go together with business. Almost always. Not always, but almost always. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ said, he didn't say stop your businesses, because business is part and parcel of life. He said that if you want to fix what you're doing wrong, then mix your bay'ah, mix your businesses up with giving a lot of sadaqah. So anything haram that you're doing is being covered by that good that you're doing as well. Okay, so when I'm saying that the vast majority of people that are in business, they go through this, this is the Prophet ﷺ also talking, okay? And this is what they're referring to over here as well. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to when He says that the people of knowledge were saying, ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٍ, that the compensation of Allah is better. Why are they saying this? They're trying to remind them that this person, he gained his wealth through haram means. If you're patient and you stay within the halal realms, you may not be as wealthy as this man, but at the end of the day, the compensation that Allah will give you will always be better. It will always be better. ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, for the person who believes and he does righteous deeds. وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ, and here is the test. This sort of patience, people are not able to achieve them except if they are really truly patient. This sort of behavior, as in being patient and not indulging in haram businesses, people are not able to achieve this except if they are truly and surely patient. And that's why even in our times, if you look today, the vast majority of Muslims that live in this country, the vast majority of Muslims that live in this country for a prolonged period of time, I'm not going to say people that are here for 2-3 years or 4 years, that have enough money and that have decent jobs, the majority of them, they end up buying houses from haram means. Okay? The majority of, let's put it this way, the majority of the ones that buy the houses, they end up buying it from haram means, right? There are other people that are patient. There are other people that are patient, and those patients are not the regularity within people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ, that difficulty and the compensation that you will be getting through being patient is not going to be achieved except if you're truly patient. You may end up going through the entire life and you're going through difficulty. This may end up happening. You may end up going through that. By the way, when I say this, I also want to clarify. Some people say that there's a fatwa and there is some fatwa that say it's okay to do this, buy on the, you know, impermissible loans, etc. Some people had said this, but believe you me, I went up and asked. Who did I ask? I asked the committee, the vice president of the committee. Look at what I'm saying here. The vice president of the committee that had given this fatwa, that had issued this fatwa, I asked him myself, I said, Till today, people in our countries, they're taking loans from the banks to buy houses for themselves, right? And you all said, when you wrote this fatwa, you said one of the things that make it permissible for people to indulge in those loans is if there are no other options, and there are so many other options now in even non-Muslim countries. I went myself to UK a couple of months ago, and even a couple of years ago, and there are entire institutions, entire banks that are Islamic banks. Islamic, you know, Bank of Britain. And I have a picture of it as well if you'd like to see it. Islamic Bank of Britain. You can see it. They issue halal loans, even in Canada. Just today somebody came to my office and they said that there's this company, I'd like you to read through the contract so you can tell me whether this is halal or not. So there are halal options, and not just one. There are multiple halal options. They may be slightly difficult to approach though. They may be a bit more confusing. You may have to do more research as well, right? But if you are paid, if you really want the compensation from Allah Azza wa Jal, you want to go down that route that is entirely halal and entirely permissible. And you know, when I told him this, you know what he said to me? The person, the vice president of the organization who gave this fatwa, he said, "You are right, I agree with you, and I will tell the people in the next gathering that we have, in the next meeting that we have, when we discuss these sort of issues, that somebody brought this up to me, maybe we'll rethink our fatwa and maybe adjust it as well." This occurred 2 years ago, and the question is, by the way, recorded on YouTube, and it's pasted on YouTube as well. So if anybody would like to listen to it, you can listen to it as well. But nonetheless, the idea that I'm trying to get to is that if you're patient, if you really want the compensation from Allah Azza wa Jal, you will stay away from all haram and try to be patient. But if you are not patient, and sometimes you end up doing businesses that have some haram things as well, then my advice, not just my advice, the advice of Rasulullah is that cleanse yourself as well at the same time, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Indeed, the good deeds, they do away with the bad deeds. So if you end up indulging in some of that, then cleanse yourself by giving sadaqah for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the prophetic prescription. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he says, وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. This person's arrogance was so great that, remember we said, those people that have such amount of arrogance, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even give them respite nor an opportunity to give an explanation. Right away the punishment comes. That's what happened to this individual. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. We ended up having the entire earth swallow him and his house. One of the most proud things that people are of in terms of their lives are their houses. Sometimes people bring you to their house not because they want you to come over, only because they want to show off their house, especially after they've spent their entire lives, you know, developing this house, this mansion, this whatever they have. So people are proud of this house. Similarly, this individual is proud of his house. He didn't attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my house is a blessing from Allah azza wa jal, and no more, I couldn't have had it if Allah didn't give it to me. He didn't do that. So this person was proud of his house. So the one thing that Allah takes away from it is what? His house. Allah makes the entire earth swallow him and his house. That's exactly what happens. Nothing else. Allah didn't say that there was a landslide and everything in the neighborhood, you know, ended up getting slided along with it as well, and there was a lot of that. No, Allah said Allah made this land swallow just himself and his house. That's all it was. Because he was proud of himself. He came out with his entourage. He thought he had all of this because of his own self, not because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, he was proud of his house. He was proud of this wealthy, you know, nice looking mansion that he had built over the years. So خَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ. Now at this point, there was no one that could help him. He came with an entourage, he had a lot of people with him. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended up having the land swallow him and his house, nobody could help him at this point. No one at all. When there is a natural disaster, nobody can help. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can stop it. No matter what happens, nobody can help. Nobody can help. And that's why we have to be humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we don't have it, then be patient. And don't go down the routes that are impermissible. Because when you go down the routes that are impermissible, also sometimes it doesn't lead to good ends in this life, and it will never lead to good ends in the hereafter. In this life, I gave you the example of the brother that came to my office a couple of days ago, and this is a story that I was just so shocked at. The person said that I ended up taking a haram loan, and my crops, they looked very nice from the outside, but they had no grains inside of them. When we checked inside, they had no grains. They had no grains. Sometimes even within this life, you'll be tested. Your businesses will, you know, fall apart. Things will never add up for you anymore. This will happen, and in the hereafter, you can rest assured. You don't have a nice hereafter waiting for you if you end up taking the wrong means. فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ. No matter how many people you have working for you, no matter how many people you have helping you, no matter how many people you have coming to your house, cleaning your front lawn and your backyard and your house itself as well, trust me, nobody's going to be there for your help if you get tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So start humbling yourself to Allah azza wa jalla. And it's a call to me as well. We all have to humble ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَصْبَحَ الَّذِينَ. And you know what's going to happen after that? If you ever get tried and tested, and you had everything, and everything was lined up for you, people will be wishing to be like you, but soon enough they'll stop wishing. Because you are transitory, and the world is transitory. Things are going to pass, you'll be forgotten. That's what's going to happen. You may have everything today, but you are going to be forgotten. So even those people that were jealous of you, because of which your ego was being filled even more, that's going to come to an end. As soon as you come to an end, all of that is going to come to an end. And then people are going to start wishing they're not like you. That they don't want to be like you. وَأَصْبَحَ الَّذِينَ تَمَنَّوا مَكَانَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ يَقُولُونَ وَيْكَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ. Those very people that wish to be like him, just yesterday. Excuse me. I guess we should all turn off our phones, you know. And I'll start by doing that for myself. Bismillah. وَأَصْبَحَ الَّذِينَ تَمَنَّوا مَكَانَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ. Except if you're using your phone as a mushaf, leave it on. Those people that were wishing to be like him just yesterday, what did they do? They started to say, يَقُولُونَ وَيْكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ. They said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives wealth to whomever He wills. I'm going to give you an example over here of an individual, and I don't want to mention his name, but I'll just give you a hint. A person that was a very, very wealthy man. He died, I think, last year or early this year. Okay? A very, very wealthy man. Everybody knew of his wealth. He was very smart. He had invented a lot of things that we use even till today. Okay? And when he was living, everybody wanted to be like him because he was a smart person, he was wealthy, he had everything, and he was pretty much an example of this individual. I don't know if he was a bad person, I don't know the details of his life, but nonetheless, he was a very wealthy person that people, you know, liked to be like. When he died, everybody was talking about him. He was the talk of the day, right? There was Facebook posts about him, there was Twitter posts about him, everybody was just posting. Blog posts, there were entire books written about the individual. I remember during that particular season, I was traveling to different places and I went to too many airports and I saw so many airports carrying his books on the shelves as the top 10 seller, or one of the top 10 sellers. And people wanted to read about this person's life. But now nobody cares for him anymore. You'll be forgotten. What's going to remain of you is just the good deeds that you do for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And sometimes, if your end, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, I, and every Muslim, if a person's end starts to go in a direction where it's not so beautiful because of his arrogance, then people will not only forget you, they don't even want to hear about you. They don't want to be like you. They start wishing that they were never like you. And that's what happened to Qarun. وَأَصْبَحَ الَّذِينَ تَمَنَّوا مَكَانَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ. Those people that wish to be like him just yesterday, يَقُولُونَ, They started to say, وَيْكَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْتِرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives wealth to whomever He wills, and He decreases the wealth of whomever He wills. So let's not dwell on that, let's just work on ourselves. لَوْلَا أَمَّنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا لَخَسَفَ بِنَا. If it wasn't from the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He didn't accept what we wanted. They wanted to be like Him, they wanted to be wealthy. If it wasn't from the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal that He didn't give us what we wanted, He would have ended up also having the land swallow us, because we would have had that very arrogance as well. And that's why I tell you something, that don't necessarily wish for wealth. And if you're wealthy, don't wish for poverty either. If you're doing good, you're doing good. Alhamdulillah. That's all it is. What you need to work on is not wealth, not money, not poverty. What you need to work on is yourself, and that's it. Just work on your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are some people that are wealthy and they're good in their wealth. That's all it is. If they're poor, then they would become people that start to disdain, that start to despair from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And some people, when they're poor, they're good in their poverty. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to give them wealth, they start to go a different direction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says this in a hadith Qudsi. What does He say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي لَمَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُهُ إِلَّا الْفَقَرْ فَلَوْ أَغْنَيْتُهُ لَأَفْسَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ دِينَهُ. From my slaves are those that nothing is good for them except poverty. If I start to give them wealth, then what's going to happen is I will corrupt their religion for them. And then Allah continues in this hadith Qudsi, and He says, from my slaves are those that nothing is good for them except wealth. And if I make them poor, then I would corrupt their deen, corrupt their religion. So some people are good when they're poor. Some people are good when they're wealthy. Don't wish for wealth and don't wish for poverty. Wish to be a good Muslim. That's all you have to wish for. And that's what they recognized over here. They recognized that when they were poor, they were wishing for wealth. That wealth may have went a different direction with them. So they started to say, some people are going to be rich, other people are going to be poor. This is the decree of Allah. We've accepted it. That's the end of that. So accept the decree of Allah in whatever you have. And there's no problem in wishing for example, wealth to spend for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. But working towards it to a degree that sometimes you end up even taking haram means to get to it, don't do it. You may be corrupting your religion. It's not worth it. You may be corrupting your religion. And if you have the wealth and you're doing good, alhamdulillah, stick to that. Just thank Allah Azza wa Jal. That's all it is. Just thank Allah Azza wa Jal. Be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal, because Allah has chosen that for you, and Allah has chosen something else for another slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. And He knows best. We don't know, He knows best. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to practice, to convey. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to thank Him in all situations that we are in. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not let us go to the tyrannic ways that sometimes wealth can lead us to. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not allow us to despair from His mercy, the disparity that can occur because of poverty. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.